Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard. It's Grandy in for Willard. He's back on Monday. So Dibs and Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs. As always, we're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957TheGame and youtube.com/957TheGame to watch us live. And if anyone swears, you get to hear it. Subscribe to the channel for all 95.7 The Game content on Twitch and YouTube. And make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Dibs, I don't know what your New Year resolution is, but if you do swear, they will get to hear it on YouTube, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. Life with a two-year-old at home, I swear a lot less than I used to.
Good point.
When I had teenagers, and so I don't really curse as much unless I'm behind the wheel. And
And then you let it fly.
Oh, yeah. Although
no filter.
Yeah, and I've tried to really cut back on the beep, beep, middle finger stuff because it's a losing game. It's a losing proposition. So I lay off the horn. I keep my hand down, but I will mutter or shout out expletives.
I mutter too.
I'm not scared.
Yeah. You dumb mother father, or go blank head.
I do that one.
Or, you know, yeah.
You don't have a stop sign. Go.
The one that gets me, and I should save it for tomorrow, what's bugging me, when you're at a traffic light and it's red and it turns green and you look and you wait for the person to go and they're clearly on their phone and it's, you know, okay.
What's the appropriate amount of time
after 3 seconds yeah.
when you can start honking?
Yeah, and I try not to honk. Again, it depends on the region. My horn usage will differ. Much more aggressive in the North Bay than I am in the East Bay. But
Good point. Three seconds.
And although now my new thing is the quick three paps of the horn. Exactly. Just to kind of wake you up and, you know, let you realize that it is green.
Hey, just, you know, friendly Good Samaritan here.
Exactly.
Time to go.
Yeah, time to go. Exactly.
Get the hell. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's too aggressive. I'm trying to, you know, dial it back. But my resolution actually for this year is to focus on things that I'm good at, as opposed to trying to chase things that I want to be good at. Mm. Just focus on things that I'm actually good at. So, and that's why no more fantasy.
No more fantasy for you.
Daily fantasy, season fantasy.
We'll see when September comes around.
Yeah, that's a long time from now, but I've never been good at fantasy football. And shout out Carter Chickering. Our technical director
manning the board right now, yeah.
Had the best team, won the league. Yeah, nobody needed that, okay?
Did you already go out and spend all the winnings over the holidays?
Nah. No?
Yeah, you know, here and there.
Here and there.
Haven't gotten the winnings yet. It's unbelievable.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he's got family money, as I learned over the holidays.
You know what I've learned is just don't trust Lucas with the winnings.
Maybe we need a new commissioner, and that would probably bring Dibs back.
Again, I focus on the things that I'm good at, and fantasy sports has brought me... I was in this league for 2 years, and it brought me nothing but failure and anger.
I mean, yeah, that's what fantasy does when you're not winning.
But I'm good.
It's terrible.
And I'm good. And this year, I went against the top-scoring team 6 times, and I was 0-6 in those games, you know, as you would... Figure out.
If you play it against the top scoring team,
right,
you're going to lose.
6 times. Yeah. And so I'm good. I'm done. I'm good.
All right,
I get it.
I'll check in 8 months and we'll see where you're at.
Yeah. And fantasy golf starts today with the Century, the TOC.
So you play fantasy golf?
No, I'm out.
Oh.
I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're out on all of it.
I'm out on all of it.
All right. Well, we'll check in.
Other than horse racing, gambling, animals riding animals, that I'm in on. If animals are riding other animals, that I'm into.
Okay, yeah. Got it. All right, let's move on. Speaking of the new year, Dibs, I threw this out before the break. Let's throw it out to you specifically about the Golden State Warriors to start, although you could take it any way you want. 2024, no doubt, was rough for the Warriors, Niners, and Giants. I mean, the Warriors have had, they had a bad year last year, mediocre year, lost in the play-in, and this year hasn't been pretty. So far, this season hasn't been pretty yet. 16-16 this season in 2024. 49ers won playoff games last year in 2024, but then lost in the Super Bowl, followed up with the most tumultuous offseason they've had in a very long time, and then are putting the finishing touches on the most disappointing season in the NFL. And the Giants, of course, as we know, they failed miserably last year, and then they fired their president of baseball operations and are now trying to begin anew. Disappointing year for all three teams in 2024. Right. Let's start with the Warriors. What is the one thing the Warriors can do now at some point in 2025 to make sure that this year, this calendar year, is better than the 2024 calendar year was for the Warriors?
Well, I would say to make a trade that is incremental and not major at the deadline. And you're not trading Steph Curry. And for me, any talk of that is complete nonsense because he is your box office cash cow. And you can't possibly get value for him short term and maybe long term if you're able to get multiple first round picks. But I don't think that he is at that spot where you could trade him and get back. You need to get back, what, $55 million worth of player and picks. I don't think that he is at a point in his career where you could actually do that. And he wants to go to a team that, I would imagine, he wants to go to a team that has a chance to win. So for me, it's not trading Steph Curry. If I'm looking at this year, it is make an incremental trade in 5 weeks to bring in Vucevic, if you can. You give up a couple of your salary matches of expiring guys, and maybe you part with a second-round pick or two, and you bring in a guy, and maybe you go on a run, or you don't, and then you get into the draft, and then you get in next year, and you try to build from there. For me, it's not a desperation move of, you got to bring in Jimmy Butler or Zion or Ingram or somebody in the next 5 weeks. To me, that's nonsense because I said it a month ago, this team is in real trouble. They're in real trouble if you make a move, if you don't make a move, big move, small move, no matter what you do, this team is not going anywhere this year. So for me, it's about incremental improvements between now and next October.
So, okay. All those moves that you throw out, the incremental moves that you are a fan of, that still is not enough for you to consider them to be a contender this year.
How
you looking to acquire someone who still has time left on their deal? But I'm trying to figure out how an incremental move that doesn't help them this year is something you're still suggesting they do. If it doesn't help you now, and it's an incremental move likely not going to be enough to help you in the future, what's the point of doing it?
Well, if you bring in a player like Vucevic, and he's got one more year in his deal, so he's got this year and then next year at 21.5, I'm looking at it now, that at least is a player where you're going to have him next year, and he'll be expiring, and that's an asset that you can use to maybe go out there and use him as a trade piece next year, or he's a guy who can help you as a big man who can shoot. And you keep Kuminga, and then you go into the offseason. And if some team wants to offer him $45 million a year, then fine. You let him go.
Or you let him go for nothing. You get nothing in return.
Well, if some team's going to offer him $45 million a year over 5 years, that's $225 million over five. That, to me, is a little rich for my blood. If there's a deal out there that you can match, then you match it. And then if you decide that you want to Jordan Poole him, which is what they did to Jordan Poole, they signed him and then they traded him, Jonathan Kuminga becomes a much bigger asset for me in the offseason than he is now. If he plays a full season of this, what we saw in December, 21 points a night, a guy who looks like he might be emerging, then, yeah, he becomes a much more tradable asset if he has a bigger contract in the offseason.
He does, no doubt. Like, part of the reason why I think the most likely scenario for the Warriors is a trade that happens before the deadline, of course, that doesn't involve Jonathan Kuminga. Because if you're trading Kuminga, one, I don't think your team gets that much better because he's been, of late, one of your best players. Like, remember what when this Warriors downturn began, they were, what was it? They were 12-3?
12-3, yeah.
12-3, and then they go to San Antonio. And they had that, what, it's like a 17-point lead late in the third, something like that. And they will ultimately blow it. That was at the end of a road trip. It was a back-to-back. They had barely held on in New Orleans the night before. They lose that game. Then they return home. You're like, all right, you lose that one game on the road. San Antonio's not a great team, but they're not a bad team. Back-to-back, it is what it is. Okay. Then they followed up with that rough loss at home to the Nets.
Yep.
Dennis Schroeder led the way for Brooklyn that night.
Dennis Schroeder.
And the Warriors had like an 18-point lead in that game, I think, in the second half. And they blew that one as well. Interestingly enough, I don't know how many of us remember this, those were the only two games that Kuminga missed this year. He was out with an illness for those two games. Did not play either of those two games. I guarantee you, if Kuminga played in those games, the Warriors win both of those basketball games, and not necessarily means they were going to continue on their 12-3 pace, but this down stretch that began with those two losses, maybe it's a little bit different. Vibes, mentality, emotions, maybe they change if you win those two games. I'm not saying it makes a big difference. My only point is Kuminga is clearly valuable to this team, and I don't think you can get better now, which should be your goal, by trading him away. The other half of it is, as you talked about, he's only making $7 million right now.
Yeah.
So if you're going to trade him away and trying to get someone that is better and more valuable than Kuminga in return, then you have to be incredibly, I don't know, liberal with how many other pieces you're willing to trade away to make it have any value. Because if you're trading away $7 million for Kuminga and your goal is to get back even someone not making a ton, like Cam Johnson, who's making $22 million, you have to attach $15 million to just Kuminga to get Cam Johnson back in return. And I think most people would say Cam Johnson's probably worth less than Kuminga as an asset, but he's making like three times as much as Kuminga. So it doesn't work that way. I don't think you can trade away Kuminga and get better, partly because he's still valuable to you and partly because the way the contracts work, you're giving yourself a trade involving Kuminga. This is the simplest way I can put it, Dibs. You are trading him at a loss almost no matter what the trade is because he's making so little.
Exactly, because there's no player who makes what he makes who is as good as he is for you. And so you can't bring in a $7 million player who does what he does. That's why I think about this year, 2025, what can the Warriors do to get better in this year? And I do think that it is, you know, wait on Kuminga and see what the market will bear. And if Kuminga is going to command $40 million a year, then you can sign him for $40 million and you can trade that $40 million if you don't believe in Kuminga. But I also look at what you have right now, and you've got Looney at 8, and you've got, you know, Buddy Hield making 8.8. He's got a 3-year deal after this year that's not that expensive. You've got pieces that are tradable, pieces that are expendable. GP2 making 9.
Yep.
If you just combine GP2 and Kevon, that's $17 million, and you throw in a little something else, can you get Vucevic for 20? Absolutely, and that makes you better. And I do think that Dennis Schroeder will be better than what he's been. I mean, yeah. I would hope that he's better than what he's been, because so far it's been, I mean, I think Evan earlier called it, you've got worse since he came in, and it's hard to argue, even though he replaced a guy who didn't play.
You gave up nothing off the current roster.
But what you got is a guy who plays and doesn't play well. Yeah. So he may not be wrong, but for me, it's about incremental moves at the deadline, and you get to the offseason, and then you look at it, because you're not going to trade Steph Curry, in my opinion. He's got 2 more years under contract. You got 2 more years of Wiggs. You got 2 more years of Draymond. So for me, I'm looking at this as a 2.5-year project where it's not do something now in the next 5 weeks or else. It's do something over the next year or even year and a half to help Steph. And then we can talk about the end game after that.
Yeah, I just feel like with those incremental moves that you're talking about, you're in danger of just trotting back out the same team that has proven for 2.5 years now that just isn't good enough. And you're only going to have a worse Stephen Curry as the years go by, a worse Draymond Green as the years go by. And that's why my resolution, if you want to think of it that way, my one thing that I think the Warriors should do in 2025 to make sure this year is better than last year, 2025 better than 2024, it's be bold. Make a bold decision. Don't just stick with the easy stuff. Right? And I know some people will think about, well, you know, not re-signing Clay was bold. I don't know. Was it like he wasn't very good for you last year, and he was expecting a decent amount of money. I think the bold decision would have been to pay him the money. I think it's be bold and go all in or go all out, one way or the other. And I hate to just flatly disagree, Dibs, but I don't think you can just kind of hang out in the safety of the middle anymore. I think you need something big, one way or the other. And if that is saying, you know what, we're going to sign Kuminga to the extension that he wants and use that as a way to acquire somebody else in the offseason, a la Jordan Poole from a couple of years ago.
Right.
You did that to get Chris Paul in here. That was a bold move at the time, but you did nothing to capitalize on Chris Paul's contract slot because you let that expire and you didn't get anything in return for it. Part of it was because you wanted to save money and get out of the aprons, and I get that. But you got to be bold, and you got to follow through on your decisions. Whether it is to, I'm going to say the terrible, scary words, whether that is to trade Steph and to trade Draymond, or not, I can't sit here and say that I think the best thing for the Warriors to do is just kind of hang out in the middle, make an incremental move, acquire Nikola Vucevic, and hope that it just magically fixes all the problems on this roster. It's go big or go home. And by go home, I mean wrap this thing up, and we're talking about the next era of Warriors basketball.
I just want to know what trading Steph Curry looks like. And this is what I asked Steiny and Evan before, because even if you want to play this game in the next 5 weeks and you decide, you know what, we're going to go big. We're not going to go big. We're going to go really big. We're going to trade Steph Curry. I wonder what that looks like, because Steph doesn't want to go. I wouldn't imagine, and I haven't talked to Steph about this. It's been the holidays and I was under the weather, but I can't imagine he wants to go to Detroit or Charlotte or Toronto or some other bottom feeder team.
Of course not.
He wants to go to a good team. So what good team is going to have, and I'm just checking the number, $55.7 million worth of player that they want to give back? So when it comes to right now, go big or go home, trading Steph Curry, I just don't know what that looks like from an actual trade standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd be curious is talking to someone in the know, and maybe that happens at some point. Maybe we get someone on tomorrow, or maybe you and Mark Willard can find somebody on Monday next week to talk about it. About, I don't know what Steph Curry's value would be and what you could get in return for him. But I'm not even talking about necessarily in like a specific example kind of way. I'm thinking more of a mindset kind of way.
Right, right. Like, I get that.
The last 2.5 years has not worked. And at a certain point, if you just, you know, cross your fingers and hope that it works it out, or you acquire a $20 million player and hope that it fixes everything, at some point you're Sisyphus rolling the boulder up the hill over and over and over again.
But last year you did win 46 games. So to say that it doesn't work is a little, to me, unfair. And I don't mean to borrow from Steve Kerr, because he said this to Mark and I and to you and many other people over and over, but they were 46-36, and Draymond Green missed about a fourth of the season or more, a third of the year. And so for me,
he hasn't missed much time this year, and yet they're 16-16.
Right, this team's a little bit different, and this team is still capable of going on a little bit of a run. But to say that last year didn't work, I think, is a little bit short-sighted, because you did win 46. I know you didn't make it out of the play-in, but
you got embarrassed in the play-in.
You did.
When you had everybody.
Yeah, you did. And I just think that if you're going to make a big wholesale move now, it's not as valuable as a smaller move and a wait-and-see approach and, you know, trying to come back again next year. And, yeah, next year when Steph is 37 turning 38, that to me feels a lot more urgent than where we are now with him 36.
Yeah, and I think maybe the area where I could be in agreement with you is, you don't have to go all in or all out right this very instant. I'm not saying necessarily trade all of the first round picks you possibly can, trade Pajemski, trade Trayce Jackson-Davis, trade Kuminga, and get whichever best player you possibly can. Like, I think you need to make moves that make you better now, but also make you better and set you up better for the future. So you're not acquiring someone who's on the last year of their contract. Or if you are, you have a handshake agreement that you're going to be able to retain them and sign them to an extension this offseason. You're also not signing or trading for someone who's on the wrong side of 35. Like, you're not going and getting Jimmy Butler,
right,
for example, right? You're bringing in someone who has years left on their contract, who is young, still ascending, or at the very least not descending, and you're willing to give up your future first-round picks to do so. And a player that fits that bill is Cam Johnson. But you don't give up Kuminga for that. You make it work elsewhere with a player like Looney or Hield and Moody and a draft pick if needed. And you get Cam Johnson in here, who is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA, is a plus perimeter defender, and is under contract for two more years beyond this season. Would immediately become this team's second-best shooter, even if Buddy Hield is still on the roster. That would help the team now. And then you reconsider in the offseason, what big name is going to become available in the offseason, and who do you want to go out and make it happen? So I'm not suggesting, Dibs, that you burn everything down or you trade away every young asset you have at this very instance, but the trades or the deals that you should consider making are ones that, one, help you now, but also, two, are kind of set up for your team in the future. And this, the bold kind of decision I'm talking about, it's not like there's an easy answer to all of these questions. But I think you got to be ultra specific in what kind of moves you're talking about. And one other player that might fit the description that maybe is available now, might be available this offseason, it's one I know you're out on, a 24-year-old in New Orleans, 24-year-old Zion Williamson. And I know he's had a history of injury and not being able to be on the court.
He's had a present of injuries, and he has a future of injuries.
Maybe.
His whole career has been colored by injury.
24 years old. Imagine you take a risk when no one else is willing, and he, like Steph Curry, suddenly doesn't get injured again. And you're talking about the next face of your franchise that you could get for pennies on the dollar right now, and he's only 24 years old. He's only 2 years older than Kuminga. Like, imagine a Kuminga-Zion pairing for years to come. Those are the kinds of moves I'm talking about, where it's risky, but be bold. You're not going to get out of the hole that you're in, not all by your own doing. It's the nature of a dynasty, and when it crumbles hard, and you have these tough decisions to make. You're going to have to take a risk. If you don't take risks, you're going to be stuck in this mediocrity until Steph retires, and then when Steph retires, even if you still have Kuminga and Pajemski, guess what? You're going to be way worse, and you're going to win 35 games instead of 45.
For you to make the comparison of Zion to Curry is historically inaccurate, reckless, and quite frankly, it's harmful. And I'll give you the Steph Curry game log in the early part of his career. He played 77 games as a rookie.
Okay.
That means he missed five. He played 74 as a sophomore. He missed eight. His third year, he only played 26 games. So yeah, he missed 56 games. That is Zion every single year in a nutshell. Then Curry played 78, 78, 80, 79, 79. That's Steph Curry in his first 7-8 years. He missed a grand total of 2, 8, a bunch, 4, 4, 2, 3, and 3. Zion Williamson has missed half of his career. Half. And I don't know, is he in his fifth year or sixth year? He's literally missed 50% of his games.
He's in his sixth season, only have played in five. He missed the entire 2021-2022
right.
season.
And he has not played in 2 months this year.
Yeah.
And he also has and I heard Evan say this earlier, that in his contract, it's voidable because he's not been able to make his weight and body mass index regimented contract stipulation.
A weight clause in the contract.
Exactly. So there's a weight clause that makes it so his contract is voidable, and I guess that makes him more acquirable.
Less risk.
Trade for him. It's less risk, but he doesn't play basketball, and I don't even know if he really wants to play basketball, and I don't know if his injury in New Orleans is a quote-unquote injury based on the fact that he doesn't really want to play there, but that to me is a scary, scary proposition that I want no part of.
I'd rather take a risk on a good player than just to twiddle your thumbs and hope that it all works out, because it ain't working out. Breaking news. If you just kind of hang out here and don't anything, it's not going
to
work.
The Cam Johnson one is more interesting to me. And
I love, you know, Cam Johnson
as a
player.
He's a great player, and he's a good fit because, as you mentioned, he's
young,
a great perimeter defender.
Two more
he's
years.
He's a shooter. You got two more years under good team control, and you know it might cost you Kavon and GP2 and another player, a smaller contract, and maybe it ends up costing you a protected first or a couple of seconds, whatever that is. That actually makes a lot of sense to me. I still would prefer Vucevic at about the same salary level.
Yeah, similar.
But to me, those are not bold moves. To me, the bold move would be giving Philadelphia Steph Curry and you take on Joel Embiid for the next 5 years.
That would be bold.
That would be bold.
That's very bold.
Yes.
You're right. The Cam Johnson move by itself would not be bold, but you have to think bigger than that. That's a step in the right direction. Maybe not everything bold is going to happen right this very instant before the deadline, but if you're going to try to make this work either with Steph or after Steph, you're going to have to be bold. Otherwise, you're looking at a lot of mediocrity in the future. Okay, time for a break. Jason in Oakland, I see you on hold. We'll get to you when we come back. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. We've got Greg Cosell coming up in about 20 minutes. Which one of us is he going to get today? Probably both. We'll find out in about 20. That's at 3:15 as we continue right here on 95.7 The Game.